Yeah. Okay. So at the end of Simen Shin Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, on the Torah of the Beis Yosef quotes our Gemara on Daf Nun in Masechet Shabbos with respect to the following halacha. So the Gemara on the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph has a discussion of Davar Sheinu Miskaven, classic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, of course, holds that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Asur on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon holds that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutar on Shabbos, unless in a certain action is going to be a psigreshe, that it's going to inevitably result in malacha. But if it's a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, you're doing something, you're going Kisei V'Safsal Gabe Adama, and it's not necessarily going to cause digging per se. So Rabbi Shimon says something which is an inadvertent, unintentional malacha, and it's not inevitable. So Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. So the Gemara then says that the following Mishnah in Masechet Nazir is going like Rabbi Shimon, because it says that a Nazir is allowed to essentially rub his hair, even though there's an Isser, that a Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair. He's not allowed to drink wine, not allowed to be Matami Lemesim, he can't cut his hair. But he's allowed to rub a substance on his hair that might cause it to fall off, but it's not inevitable that it's going to fall off. Rashi understands here that the Mishnah Nazir Chofei from a phosphate, that he's using the substances of Nesiv Achol, certain cleansing agents, which we had said is going to be potentially problematic, according to a Braisa that was quoted regarding the various things that you can or can't do when it comes to Nesiv Achol, these cleansing agents. The Mishnah, the Braisa there was talking about smoothing out silver, the Pasma Malacha Memachik, and then after speaking about the Malacha Memachik, the Braisa at the end says about Lo Yachub Bahem Saro, that you're not allowed to use it in order to rub on your hair. And the Gemara concludes that must be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Braisa, because if it will be going like Rabbi Shimon, we know the Mishnah Nazir goes like Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah Nazir says that you are allowed to rub these things even in cases where hair is not allowed to be removed. Because just like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to remove hair. Why can't you remove hair on Shabbos? Because it's a malacha of gozer, it's of shearing, that the Mishkan, one of the Lamites Malachos is shearing, because they would shear the wool off of the sheep in order to be able to dye the wool and utilize the wool for the Malachos HaMishkan. So therefore, we're not allowed to be gozes, and that includes removing a hair from a person's body. So too, a Nazir is not allowed to remove his hair, and Rashi says it's an absolute equation. The first Rashi on Daf Nun Amud Beis, Nazir b'chol k'chol adam b'shabbos, that whatever is permissible or prohibited with respect to a Nazir and his hair on a weekday, it would be the same dinim with respect to a regular person when it comes to Shabbos, because a regular person can't remove his hair on Shabbos. So a Nazir is allowed to be chofei from a phosphate. And Rashi says, even b'nesser v'chol, even with these substances of the nesser and the chol, he's allowed to rub his hair, because it's not inevitable that the hair is going to come off. So since it's not inevitable, therefore it's permissible, and that only really makes sense according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds the Davar Sheinu Miskaven is a mutter. Aval, but then there's an important qualifier. What's the important qualifier? Aval lo soik, that he's not allowed to comb his hair. That if he's going to be combing his hair, so then it's inevitable that when a person combs their hair, some hair is going to fall off. So we see what? That since the Gemara says this is going according to Rabbi Shimon, this Mishnah which allows kofi from a phosphate is permissible according to Rabbi Shimon, but even this Mishnah that's so permissible with respect to the Nazir is machmir when it comes to sovik, that you're not allowed to comb. So based on this Gemara, the Beis Yosef at the end of Simen Shin Gimel on the Torah, the Beis Yosef says that we see from this Gemara that to be sovik, to comb one's hair on Shabbos, is prohibited. As he quotes over here, The Torah talks about things that one is allowed to do in terms of splitting one's hair, in terms of causing a split between one side of the hair and the other side of the hair, because it's not going to remove any hair. And he goes so further to, and he quotes further that even lachu pelafasfis would be mutter, since we hold like Rabbi Shimon, avalisso pemesarek the kuliyam aser. But if you're going to comb with a comb, so everybody would hold that that is going to be prohibited, and that is in fact the way that it is paskin. And he explains that the reason for this is because it's a, he quotes from our Gemara as well. Shili perek b'metomni nami ma'isilo b'kasav Rashi nazir b'chol k'chol adam b'Shabbos, and therefore it's prohibited on Shabbos. And he explains because it's a psikreshen, because it's inevitable that the combing is going to cause hair to come out. Okay, so when you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the end of Siman Shin Gimel, so this is brought down the halacha. Also, listuk masrik b'Shabbos, one is not allowed to comb with a comb on Shabbos. Afilo also she'osim misar chazir, even those which are made, those brushes which are made with the hair of a pig, which apparently was considered to be softer than some of the other bristles that they used. I don't know if they make brushes or combs anymore from the hair of a pig, but this was apparently more commonplace in those days. Because it's impossible that you're not going to remove some hairs. And the Ramah adds, but you are allowed to rub with your hand on your hair, in a way that even though it's possible that hair will fall out, it's not inevitable that hair will fall out, since we pass like Rabbi Shimon, we're not worried about possibilities or even probabilities if it is not going to be inevitable that hair is going to fall out. So there's a stinging criticism here quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah notes that people were not, this was one of those halachos where people weren't apparently always so careful about, they weren't so nisar about. He quotes from the Sefer Yeshuas Yaakov, Raisi Anashim Mekilim Lisuach Voshem B'Shabbos. I've seen people who were very makel that they would comb their hair on Shabbos. Kumat Nased Dove Keheter Etzlam, that this became like a heter for them. The Oila Inayim Shekach Roos, and woe upon the eyes who would see such a terrible thing. Labo B'Shai Nefesh Lachal Shabbos B'Yadayim. They just very cavalierly and unthinkingly just on Mechal Shabbos as part of their grooming routine. May Haroi l'chol chokam bi'iro l'hasir also, every single chokam should be masir. You're not supposed to comb your hair. Ulai yishmo v'yichom musar, maybe people will take heart and take a heed. Ad kan devar. So this is basically the landscape of the halacha. So the question is there any room to find leniency if a person has very unkempt hair? So one clear room for leniency, which has already, you know, been described in, by the Gemara, by the Ramah, is that if one is just basically using their hands, and it's not going to be a psikreshi, it's not going to be inevitable that hair will fall out, so then the using your hands certainly is okay. But what if you have some sort of a brush where it's not necessarily going to be a psikreshi? So there's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe in Chelek Beis Abovachayim Simen Ayin Ches, where he says that if you have three different conditions, then it would be possible for somebody to brush their hair on Shabbos. One condition would be that you not use a comb, because if you use, remember, there are two different implements that people typically use when they're interested in brushing their hair. One implement is called a comb, and the other implement is called a brush. And the comb has very hard bristles, and a brush has, at least some brushes have softer bristles. So he says a comb is definitely out of the question, because that creates pretty much an inevitability that hair is going to be removed, and then you'll be over on the malacha of gozes, if any hair is removed at all. The malacha of gozes, the shear we pass, like the chacham against Rabbi Eliezer, it has to be two hairs, but the Mishnah Berurah and others point out that, okay, even one hair is a chatzi shear, which is also min haTorah, so it's also min daraisa. You wouldn't be chayav achatas, but it's also an issur daraisa, it's not issur d'rabbanan, it's an issur daraisa. Even one hair would be an issur daraisa of chatzi shear. Any hair at all, you have to be, if you knew that even one hair would come out, so that would be a problem. But at least with a brush, there's a possibility that maybe no hairs would come out whatsoever. So that's condition number one. Condition number two, and included in that condition number one is that it has to be not just any brush, but it has to be a brush with very, very soft bristles. It has to be a soft bristle brush that one would use. Condition number two is that one would have to make sure that they're not overly aggressive. You could take even a soft bristle brush and brush so aggressively and brush it for such a long time that it's still going to be inevitable that hair will come out. It'll have to be like a very soft and brisk, and short brushing of the hair, where one doesn't overdo it, either in terms of strength or in terms of length, that it's just, you know, barely enough to get the job done, and it's done in a soft fashion. So in other words, you're using a soft implement, and you're brushing it softly. So those are the first two conditions. And the third condition that he quotes from the Mama Mordechai, so the Mama Mordechai says that in order to avoid a problem of Uvdin Dechol, and Uvdin Dechol is you know, one of these very general principles in Hilchos Shabbos that comes up from time to time, that we do things on Shabbos and we do activities on Shabbos that are different from the rest of the week. And we avoid doing things on Shabbos that are along the lines of the types of activities engaged in during the week. So the Mama Mordechai is an interesting Kiddush that even with respect to something which can be done in an Asa fashion, can be done in a Mutta fashion, you should abstain from using the type of implement which is associated with doing it in an Asa fashion. That also is a variation of Uvdin Dechol. So so he says that you should avoid using the brush that you have the rest of the week. It should be as a brush which is specifically designated for Shabbos, that is specifically designated for this purpose of soft brushing. And therefore, since it's specifically designated for soft brushing, it should be the type of brush which could not be and would not be associated with combing or the type of vigorous brushing that would cause hairs to come out. Something like a baby brush. So even though Rav Moshe says that he thinks that the third condition is not absolutely integral, if push came to shove, one would be able to use a more conventional brush as long as it's soft and it is done softly, he recommends, at least the chatchila, to be choshesh, for the shita of the Mama Mordechai, that one should have a specially designated, very soft brush, which would be set aside for Shabbos purposes. So I remember when I was younger, and I had hair, so I would be very careful to only, you know, use my hair to brush my hand to brush my hair for Shabbos. And I saw that it's not so bad. You know, use your hair. My hair was always very unruly because it was getting ready to jump out at the first possible moment. So it didn't really make a difference, I found, as to whether I used a brush or a comb during the week or I used my hair on Shabbos. The hair looked, you know, pretty much the same all the time. So I just stopped using a comb and brush the rest of the week as well. I just always used my hands to brush my hair. And eventually, it's not really a problem anymore. So Rav Moshe recommends this particular technique. However, some of the contemporary poskim say that if somebody knows about themselves that even, you know, the slightest even motion of a soft brush would inevitably cause hair to come out, because that's just the nature of their hair. Let's say that they're going through that stage of life in which their hair is parting ways with them. Then if a person knows that it's going to be a psikreshe in their particular case, even though for somebody else it might not be a psikreshe, so some of the contemporary poskim suggest that maybe there has to be a little bit of a subjective element as well, that the person in that situation should also refrain from using the brush. The problem of gozes, as the Gemara continues to indicate on Daf Nun Amud Beis, it doesn't only apply to what goes on the top of the head, but even would be applicable to hairs that would be located in the rest of the head, because the Gemara then, having established that the Braisa must be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Braisa doesn't even allow chapipa, doesn't even allow the rubbing on the face without without combing. So it says it's going, that's into the rubbing on the head without combing. So the Gemara says, "Mayu kimtuk Rabbi Yehuda, ema sefer." So what about the sefer that says, "Aval pan of yada v'raglav mutar"? It says that you're allowed to be chofef on one's face, even if you're holding on one's head, it's a problem. On one's face, it would be okay. Hame'aves hair, but even on the face, a person has hair. So the Gemara answers, Ibai Seman Bekotan, Ibai Seman Beisha, Ibai Seman Besaris. No, even if it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, we're not worried about the face, because we're talking about a katan who doesn't have hair on his, doesn't have facial hair, or a woman who doesn't have facial hair, not talking about the bearded lady, or a saris, somebody who's a male, but is a eunuch, and therefore he doesn't have facial hair either. And then the Gemara just goes on to talk about different types of substances, different types of upper or dirts and of other facial cleansing agents that either would be permissible or would be prohibited on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Amar Sheshis Barda Shari, that there's a certain concoction called Barda, which is made up of a third of Ola and a third of Asa, and a third of sigli, different types of herbs, and different types of soaps, different types of leaves, what's extracted from them, different extractions. And this concoction was such that even though it had maybe a little bit of a substance that had the capacity of removing hair, since the majority of it didn't really have the capacity of removing hair, so this could be something that a person would put on their face. And this is quoted lahalacha in Simin Shin Chafes, I believe, in Shulchan Aruch, brings down lahalacha that as long as you have facial cleansing agents where it's not inevitable that hair is going to come out, even though a person does have facial hair, one is allowed to cleanse one's face with those agents as well. So the Tosfos over here has a comment where Tosfos says, Bishlama, this is Tosos Dibur Amaska B'mayu Kimta. So Tosos says, Bishlama, Ika Rabbi Shimon, As Yashapir, Dika Lameyma, the Saras Panavagla, Venom Noshos Maher. Had we said that the part of the Brisa that says you're not allowed to be Chofev with Neser V'chol on your head is going like Rabbi Shimon, so it would have been easier to differentiate between when the head and the face. Because we could have said that, yeah, it would have been prohibited prohibited on the head because the hair of the head comes out more easily. But with respect to the face, when the sefer says "Alpana yada v'raglav is mutter," so with respect to the face, "V'loave psik reishay v'shari," it's not noshros maher, says Tosfos. So with the hair on the face doesn't come off as easily or as quickly as the hair on the head. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, we would well understand the distinction between what would be prohibited with respect to the hair and what would be prohibited with respect to the face. About Barosho, also, with respect to the head, I would understand that it would have been also Davi Psikreshe, because of the fact that it would be a Psikreshe. About Hashta Dukimta, Rabbi Yehuda, but now that we have explained that the Bryce is going like Rabbi Yehuda, because being Chofev on the head, Nesa B'chol would be permissible even according to Rabbi Shimon. Only combing is prohibited according to Rabbi Shimon. We should have prohibited these other substances. We should have prohibited the same substances of Nesa B'chol on the face according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's not a psik reshe. So the Gemara explains that no, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we must be talking about a person who doesn't have any facial hair. So Rabbi Avadya Yosef, Chelekei of Orachayim, points out that we see from this Tosfos that according to Rabbi Shimon, whom we hold like, there is more room to be makel with respect to what we allow in the face to what we allow in the head, because it's less inevitable that a person who is involved in stroking the hairs of his face, that the hair will come out than when a person is combing the top of his head. So therefore, he says that, you know, there was some poskim, it's quoted in the Ben Ishchai and some of the Sephardic poskim, who were very machmir about tugging on one's beard on Shabbos and doing things like that because of the possibility that hairs would come out, tugging on the snot what's the word I'm looking for that comes out of the nose?
Phlegm.
What's the stuff that
phlegm?
The phlegm that comes out of the nose?
Mucus.
Okay, right, okay. The mucus that comes out of the nose. So since there are often hairs that are connected to that mucus, so therefore the Ben Ish Chai, the Kaf HaChaim, and others said one has to be very careful not to tug on them because it may be, you know, sort of a psik reishin that hair is going to be tugged out. So Rabbi Yosef says that he thinks that there's more room to be mekel. He thinks that's really kind of like a chumra b'yama, but there's more room to be mekel with respect to if one has tugged, you know, there was a story of the Arizal, apparently, that he at one point, just kind of as a force of habit, was stroking his beard on Shabbos, but he was worried that as a result of doing this, hair was going to come off, so therefore he kept his hand on the beard until the end of Shabbos, for however many hours that was, so he shouldn't be moved to take the hand away, so he was afraid that as he would take the hand away, he would be taking hairs away. So Rabbi Yosef says these are all nice stories, but he thinks that that's really a chumrah, that there's less of a chash, less of a danger of hair coming out, and therefore, as long as one is circumspect and is soft and careful in the way in which they tug at the mucus from coming out of their nose, the way that you know they might stroke their beard, even if it's not you know recommended the chatzilah, but you know sometimes a person might have something coming out of their nose that they'll want to remove either with their finger or I guess preferably with a tissue. It's not absolutely and categorically prohibited. A person just has to be circumspect, you know, enough not to do it forcefully, but that there might be you know less of a chash. Of something happening if it's coming, if we're talking about the facial hair as opposed to the hair on top of his head. However, certainly in the event that somebody actually does pull hair out of their face, whether it's coming out of their nose, whether it's coming out of their beard, if we're talking about the facial hair, that is, of course, included in the lav. It's not as if that's not included. It just says that we see that it doesn't come out quite as easily. Yeah.
Points for this person, isn't that a malacha shouldn't streak like gufa? You don't need the hair, so isn't
this is a question. So this was a whole big discussion that arose in Matosos and Daf Tzadi Dalet. So in the Gemara, the Mishnah there talks about removing fingernails. It talks about that to remove fingernails with your fingers. Like if one finger kind of snaps off a fingernail from another finger, so that's considered to be an irregular fashion of removing fingernails, so that's also midrabanan. But the Mishnah indicates that if you use a kli, as the Mishnah in Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, if you use a kli, so the Mishnah indicates that would be also midraraisa. So Tosfos says, Hainu Karabi Yehuda. Tosfos right there in Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis says that's only going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the Yechai from Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. But we who hold like Rabbi Shimon, the malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is potter. So therefore, all of these types of gozes, presumably, whether you're cutting off your fingernails or whether you're cutting off the hair of your head, if you don't actually need the fingernails, you don't actually need the hair, so then it's really only midrabanan. So according to Tosfos, all of these cases, you start off, and it's always only a midrabanan whenever you're removing fingernails, and presumably the same would be applicable if you're removing hair, but you don't have a need for the you don't have a need for the hair. This shita of Tosfos is sharply disputed by the Rivash. The Rivash is of the opinion that it's not true, that that even Rabbi Shimon would agree with the Mishnah that if you take off fingernails or you take off hair in the normal fashion, that's also considered to be malacha shetzricha l'gufa, because the way that the malacha is defined in the Mishkan was that they would either share the wool because they wanted the wool, or sometimes they would share the hair. They would cut the hair off of the skins, like the ovos tachashim. They would cut the hair off of the ovos tachashim so that the skins would be smooth and could be used for their various purposes in the Mishkan without having the hair on them. So we see that the way the malacha shtricha l'gufa is defined in terms of the malacha of the Mishkan, it could be defined in two different ways, either because you need the hair itself or because you need for the resulting product, the skin or the body, to be absolutely smooth. That's also considered to be l'gufa. So according to the Rivash, and this is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah brings this, the Be'er Halacha brings it, in Simen Shin Mem, when he talks about Malachis Gozes, so he brings this machlokis between Tosfos and the Rivash. But according to the Rivash, it follows that even if you don't actually need the hair, and you're just cutting the hair or getting rid of the hair so that the hair will look nicer, right? You're combing, you have to get rid of the hairs that are tied up, you know, when you comb. So you have hairs that are kind of tied into each other, and therefore you have to, you know, comb them out. And an inevitable part of combing out the hair is that some hair will be removed. So therefore, since you want the hair to look nicer, and it's inevitable that hair will have to be removed in the process of the hair looking nicer. So based on the way the malacha was performed in the Mishkan, where that was one of the ways in which hair was cut, not for the hair itself, but for the underlying product, the ovis, the chashim, to look nicer. So too, it's always going to be considered to be a malacha, tzricha, legufa, as long as you're doing it for the purpose of making something nicer, making either the hair, either because you want the hair or because you want to make, you know, or you want to make the head of hair that remains look more nicer. So that's also going to be considered a malacha, tzricha, legufa. So it's a big nafkamina as to whether we view this as an isser d'oraisa, whether we view this as an isser d'rabban. What's a possible nafkamina as to whether we hold that it's an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbanan? So in the case, we're jumping the gun a little bit, because our Gemara doesn't talk about fingernails, it's talking about removing hair. But in the case of the fingernails, you often have the concern of what is a shvus to shvus type of situation, where, for example, a woman did not remember to cut her fingernails before Shabbos, and now she has to go to the mikvah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and this is a discussion between the Shach and the Taz, I think it's in Reish Tzadi Ches in Yoredeya, as to whether a non-Jewish person could be called on to use a kli to cut the fingernails. Do we say that's a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah? The mitzvah of going to the mikvah, and there's the shvus of emir la'akov, is the shvus of using there's either a malacha or a shvus or of cutting the fingernails with a kli. So the shach claims that this is a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, that according to Tosfos, whenever you have a netilas tzipornayim and you don't need the fingernails themselves, so by definition, this is a shvus to shvus b'makom. It's always going to be no better than an issa d'rabbanan. It's no better than a malacha she'en tzricha legufa. And therefore, one would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to cut the fingernails. According to the Rivash, it's more problematic because according to the Rivash, so maybe this is really, you're asking the Akum to do an issa d'oraisa for purposes of going to the mikvah. So it's not a shvus to shvus anymore, and therefore it's a more shaky heter. So the Taz didn't like the heter. The Taz didn't like the heter for a variety of reasons. Also because the person is directly participating with their body. So that's a question as to how you understand Misayeya, whether Misayeya ain't bo mamish or on some level yesh bo mamish. So the Taz was bothered on a couple of levels. He was bothered because it's on the person's body himself or herself. And he was also bothered by the fact that not everybody agrees with this Tosfos, that it's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa. If you hold like the Rivash, it's a malacha tzricha legufa. Unless you argue that even according to the Rivash, maybe this would be an issa d'rabbanan, because of the fact that in this case, the woman is not, this is what a number of the poskim say, in this case, the woman is not cutting her fingernail in order to beautify her fingers. Usually, you know, when a woman cuts her fingernails, it's in order to beautify her fingers. When you comb your hair, it's in order to beautify your hair. But in this particular case, she's cutting the fingernail just because she needs to be able to go to the mikvah. She wouldn't otherwise cut them. It wasn't sticking out so much. It wasn't homemade litzos, you know, at any moment. So in such a case, it could be that even according to the Rivash, if she's not doing it for cosmetic purposes, but just for the purpose of getting rid of the fingernails, so she won't have the chatzitza and she won't have the shail of chatzitza, so maybe even the Rivash would agree that's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa. So halacha l'maisa, in that case, the what we pask in the halacha is that chatzchila, you should have a non-Jew try to do it by hand, to, you know, if you have a sort of a fingernail that's sticking out, that she can, you know, if the non-Jewish person can remove the fingernail by hand or with their teeth, that would be better. Although, I,
person themselves or the non-Jew?
No, the non-Jew, not the person themselves. That would be,
yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily going to be something they'll want to do. And v'di'evid, if they're not comfortable or able to do it in this irregular fashion, then we do halacha l'maise, rely on these various considerations to allow it to be done even b'kli. So the last, you had a second question?
Yeah,
also?
Just the horror, like with that thing with the nose hairs, you know, this was a whole cause celeb a few years ago with Rav Avadia Yosef. He had a radio program.
But if you look in his tshuva, he's not, again, it's an issa d'oraisa to remove the nose hair. The question is, do you have to avoid even removing the mucus? It is possible, if you do it softly, to remove the mucus,
right,
without necessarily removing the nose hair. And he has a further chiddush that if your focus is the mucus, and it's a segreshe d'lo nichale and a d'rabanan, so he has an arichos where there might be room to be makol on that basis as well.
It just got a lot of, you know, publicity in the print media at the time when he spoke on the radio. Somebody called him with a question.
Right, I remember that. So I'm just a so. In fact, that's what motivated me to look for a tshuva by Rav Avadia Yosef on this subject. But when I looked in the tshuva, he was less. Yes, he agrees that there's an issur involved, but he also found some room, some room for leniency as well. So the last thing in the Gemara today that I just wanted to go over, which is maybe pushing the envelope a little bit, is so the continuation of the sugya has to do with, again, using one of these substances that doesn't obviously remove hair. So that could be, again, a question of a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the way the Gemara describes it, as to whether one would be allowed to use one of these cleansing agents on their face in the event that it's not clear that it will remove hair. By the way, what we do see from the Gemara is that if it's 100% clear that even a cream or a cleansing agent of some sort is going to remove hair, so then it would be also to use even according to Rabbi Shimon. So that's brought down the halacha as well. You can't put something on your head, which is definitely going to remove hair, even if you're not combing. But anyway, there was the following case where the Gemara says, a Memer Marzutra, this is about halfway down the page on Nunam and Beis, second word of the line, a Memer Marzutra of Rashi, three of them. Havin Yasvi, Isa, they were sitting down, Isa the Kameo, Barda. So it looks like it was Shabbos. They brought Barda, which is this concoction that we spoke about that is something that does not inevitably remove hair. It's the one-third Ola, one-third Asa, one-third Sigli combination. So Amem Ravashi Mashu, so they wash their hands with it, even though they have hairs on their hand. Look at your hand, like the back of your hand. Your hair is on the back of your hand. They don't come off so easily, I don't think. So they had hair on the back of their hand, like everybody else, but they weren't worried. And they also had hair. Presumably they're washing their face too. They had hair on the face. And they weren't worried that the hair would be removed. Marzutra Lomasha, Marzutra didn't wash his hand. So Amalelo, Sava Lamala Adama, Rosheshis Bar the Shari. Don't you all like Rosheshis Bar the Mutter? Presumably it's Mutter because we all like Rabbi Shimon. So Amalu Mordechai. So Mordechai said to them that Mordechai appeared. He said, "Bamine demar." He said, "Don't. That's not relevant to Marzutra's practice." Even if it was a weekday, he wouldn't wash himself with barda. Why wouldn't he wash himself with barda? So b'savlok he had the time. Megaradam gildi tsoa. The gildi makas she'al b'sara b'shvil tzaro, because he holds like the price that says that a person is allowed to remove really disgusting things from his flesh, like if there is some type of scab wound or there's some kind of bodily discharge that was on his flesh, so that could be removed because it's very yucky to have that on one's body. However, in Bishvil Yapos, but if you're just kind of indulging yourself to decorate yourself and make yourself beautiful, that's also, so that would be something that would be prohibited because men are not supposed to get so carried away with making themselves look nice. Rashi says, Mishum lo yubash gevis, simlas isha. that would be a violation of Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. A man is not supposed to adorn himself and perfume himself as much as a woman. He felt this was too much. It was like a cologne. It was pasnish for Yeshiva Bacher. So if so, say, how do you then explain the approach of a Maimer and Rabashi, that they were washing themselves with these types of fragrances? So they held Kihaditanya, like the Bais that says, Vokhet Sodom Panam Yadav Ragla, that a person should always be very well groomed, Bishul Kono, in order to serve his Creator properly. Mishum Shenemar, Kopal Hashem Lamaneo. As it says, Kopal Hashem Lamaneo, everything Hashem created is to adorn Hashem, that the nicer that we look, the nicer we make a Kaddish Baruch Hu look. So this Gemara, I don't know to what degree it's brought down halacha lemaisa, but it's relevant to a lot of the discussions of where do you draw the line between what is lo yilbash geber simlas isha, what's considered to be over preoccupation with one's appearance and one's looks, so you'd be lo yilbash geber, and what is considered to be appropriate based on kopal shem lemaneo. This is separate tshuva of Avadya Yosef and Yechavidas, where he talks about whether it's permissible for a man to look inside a mirror. Looking in a mirror also used to have some relevance from Malachas Gozes, because it used to be that there were mirrors where if you looked at the mirror had like a cutting agent on it as well, and then people would look at themselves in the mirror, see that their hair was too long, and they would take the mirror and they would cut their hair. So when there were such mirrors, it was prohibited to look in a mirror on Shabbos for that reason. We don't really have that issue anymore with respect to our modern-day mirrors. They're not really used as scissors or as cutting implements anymore. However, there is a separate issue based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Kofes. Tosus points out, based on the Gemara there, Gemara indicates there are very rare occasions one's allowed to look at a mirror. A man can look at a mirror when he has a haircut being given by a heathen and by an idolater, and the concern is that an idolater is going to perhaps kill him, so he has to like watch in the mirror to make sure that, you know, he's not going to shoot him at any point or stab him with the scissors. So that's permissible. So we see the rest of the time it's not permissible because of Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha, that it's not appropriate for a person to preoccupy himself with looking in a mirror. So the question is there any room for flexibility with respect to allowing a man to look in the mirror? So the Ron says over there, well, it's if everybody's doing it, if both men and women, if you live in a society where it's not only women who look in mirrors, but men look in mirrors all the time in order, you know, to be well groomed, so then it's not any more a violation of Liobash Geber. So it's a question of what are the practices of the time. So Rabbi Yosef has a long description of this, and he ends up quoting a Mordechai in the Maseches Avodah Zarah that goes so far as to say that it's not just a question of whether it's just men and women who do it, but he says that if a person is doing it, he's not doing it for purposes of being like a woman, but he just wants to make sure that he looks decent, that he looks presentable. So the Mordechai quotes a Yesh Omrim that if he's just doing it for purposes of looking presentable, that actually would be permissible to look inside of a mirror. So Rabbi Yosef concludes, and he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos later on in Daf Kuf Gimel, called Talmid Chacham Shenimsa Rebbe Babidil Chayamisa, that we see that there is an inyan that a Talmid Chacham should not look in should not be dressed in a slovenly or messy or dirty fashion, in order not to bring bizayon to the Torah that he represents, so that this could be a justification for looking in the mirror. So I thought to myself, even though I looked and he didn't quote this Gemara, that this Gemara really indicates the two tzadim of that particular coin. The practice of Marzutra obviously was that he felt strongly that he didn't hold that there was a justification to adorn oneself for purposes of being overly presentable. The most important, what counts is that you not be unpresentable, but you shouldn't overdo it. And Maimer and Ravashi clearly were of the opinion that it's appropriate to push the envelope a little bit, to adorn oneself a little bit in order to be Mekayim Kopal Hashem Lemaneo. So this might be another sniff to justify the practice, which is recorded by Rabbi Yosef, that men nowadays do tend to look in the mirrors, that if the purpose of looking in the mirror is Kopal Hashem Lemaneo, so that could be another justification of the modern-day practice.